You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up, people? It's your boy, Cam J, back with another episode of Off the Edge with Cam Jordan. Now, as we gear up for another exciting season, I wanted to reflect on some of the incredible guests I had the pleasure of sitting down with last season. But hey, don't worry, though. I got you. New episodes coming your way real soon. Relax. I got you. But in the meantime, in between time, let's rewind and play back some of my favorite interviews from season one. This week, I'm bringing you Louisiana's very own Mr. LSU, Mr. Honey Badger himself, my guy, my dog, Tyrann Mathieu. Take a listen. Appreciate you coming on for my podcast, Off the Edge with your boy. I just want to ask you things straight off the rip. You know, I'm gonna say thank you for the illustrious Honey Badger. I'm gonna say you've got so many nicknames, I don't know where to start. You know, we call you Five, we call you Honey Badger, Tyrann. You know, I'm saying yeah. T5. I'm just variations here. You know, but three-time Pro Bowler, a man with over 30 interceptions in his career because he just had a two-piece. Because like before the season, I think he was at 29. We talked about that joint.
Yeah.
Then I know you had a two-piece and you had one before that for the tutty against the Patriots. I mean, you're sitting at 32 tutties.
Yeah.
Off the, you know, 32 interceptions anyways, but a few of them for tutties. I appreciate you just being on the podcast with me, bro. I appreciate you just taking a little bit of your time. I know you're busy over in the North Shore. You know, the man, the myth, the legend that went to St. Aug from New Orleans lives 45 minutes out. Yeah. My first question is, why you live so far away from home, bro? You came home and you decided to move across the water.
Man, to be honest, bro, I don't have a problem with living on the South Shore, but... You know, I think the North Shore, man, I got three kids. So, you know, I think that like the idea of like, you know, having like the big backyard, big front yard, you know what I mean? Nice pool. You know, you could do that, I feel like, on the North Shore. You know, a little bit more than you could on the
okay, South Shore. I'll say, come on, there's yeah. Kenner. You could be a Kenner, bro. You could have been in Gabriel with everybody else with big houses.
Right.
You could have old Metairie, you know, with that old money. You know what I'm saying? Wherever Drew live and Peyton and the man is in them, I'm sure you could have been right in that neighborhood somewhere in Garden District or lower Garden District or whatever that is down in New Orleans.
Nah, I mean, that's probably true. But to be honest, though, bro, I like taking in that drive, like to work and like from work.
That's crazy.
You know
work.
So
your decompression time.
Yeah, man. You know what I mean? So then it's a little bit of a long time too. So you know, I appreciate that.
Bro, my cause, my cleats, week 13 in NFL, everybody gets to put, you know, their own foundation, somebody else's foundation, support somebody else's foundation. Like I went St. Jude's Children's Hospital just because I love the phenomenal work that they do. I went to go to Memphis this offseason. I walked around the campus. I was like, why don't I do more with this? You know what I'm saying? Like, why don't I do more for somebody else? But, you know, your organization and what is it? What does it mean and what does it represent for you?
Well, my organization, I started my foundation, man, I want to say probably like 8-9 years ago. And, you know, the real inspiration for me was always my grandmother. You know what I mean? Because, you know, in my mind, in my eyes, really, man, like she was like the first person that I saw that like was always like in a service mode, you know what I mean? Like just willing to help people. Like, and my grandmother didn't have much, but you know, whatever she did have, you know what I mean? She was willing to share. And when I got drafted to Arizona, man, like it was a good situation for me because, I was around a good group of football players, like guys that's probably going to the Hall of Fame. But those dudes was like legit off the field too. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Calais Campbell and, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, Patrick Peterson. I think Fitz and Calais like won Man of the Year. You know what I mean? So like those guys were like heavy in the community, like for me as a rookie, you know what I mean? So I soaked up a lot of that game. And you know, I always told myself, like, man, once I get to, like, my second contract, like, once I'm straight and secure, you know, I'll do much more, you know, in the community. So it's kind of worked out like that for me. But this year, man, I chose to represent – every year I choose to represent my foundation. But this year was a little different because, you know, lately I've partnered with, you know, Son of a Saint, which is an organization, you know, from New Orleans, based in New Orleans. And it got a lot to do with, you know, young black kids who may need like a father figure, you know, maybe they need a mentor, you know, a role model to look up to. So, you know, that was kind of personal for me. So it's been cool working with them. And
shout out Sonny.
Yeah.
Whatever Sonny's last name is, I've never known, but.
I don't think I know it neither, bro. Now that you say that.
And been dealing with Son of a Saint for,
and I feel bad now.
8-9 years.
Yeah, man. But nah, it's been cool to work with them, bro, and just meet, you know, a lot of the kids, you know, yeah. I think that they've been a big blessing too.
Yeah, man. Son of a Saint is that's the last time I normally, since I've been in New Orleans, I take one of these young bucks under my wing while they're in high school, you know what I'm saying? Like a mentor mentee program. And once they get off to college, I send them on their way.
Right.
Last kid I sort of was, you know, mentoring, Trey Hand, his dad was Norm Hand, played for the Saints back in the gap, whatever. Got him from Son of a Saint. Mm. Trey Hand never left, bro. He just like inserted himself to the family. Boy, in college, at University of Arkansas, Monticello, whatever it is. I'm still talking to him almost weekly. I'm like, hey, man, are you supposed to spread your wings and fly already, bro? I should have a new mentee already.
Yeah.
He's like, nah, bro, I'm family. You know what I'm saying? But that's just that part of New Orleans, bro, is just the community feel is always there. The, you know, the family feel. I try and tell people, like, when they come here and aren't from here or don't know nothing about New Orleans, I was like, if anything, the strongest part of that about this fan base is it feels like a real family. Like, they when you hurting, they hurting. You know, they'll tell you straight up on the streets, like, hey, when we win – you know, when we win, it's good in the city.
Oh, yeah.
And when the Saints lose, crime goes up. Black Air Force Energy comes out quick.
Right.
Speaking of being a local, why do we call you 5? You was like 7 at LSU when it was a prime number.
Yeah.
You was 32 in Arizona, in Houston. Kansas City for sure was 32.
Yeah.
Hey, you for sure 32 here. Where 5 come from? And why, like... Whoa.
So five. I don't think I've ever really told this story. So 5 actually comes from. It has a lot to do with my grandmother. So most people and you ask, hey, where Tyron's from? Most people will probably say the Seventh Ward.
Seventh Ward.
And they're right. Ish. But there's like a catch, you know, like my first couple years on Earth, I live 2930 Orleans Avenue. Which is the 5th ward. Now, the people that know me, they know that. So that's kind of like where the 5 come from. You know, because I'm like a 7 ward dude, but everybody know, like, man, he might really be from the 5th ward. That's where his grandma lives.
Where people stay. Okay.
Yeah, that's where the 5 come from, and that's actually where my jersey number come from.
3+2.
So, you know, 3+2. And so... yeah, man, that's like what is that? Like a history lesson.
Yeah, man. And here I'm like, yeah, that boy really from the 7th. Like I say, you know,
right.
defense dinner, you take us out to the 7th ward. Right, you know, you take the whole defense to the 7th ward. I'm like, man, he's just showing love to his peoples.
Yeah,
in front of the 5th ward.
Right, it's in my blood, though, man. Yeah.
Man, I'm in the locker room. Like I'm like T. You don't be answering the T. I'm like 5. Turn right around. Bruh, that's crazy. I mean, we talk about it in the locker room too, but you was like earlier this season, bro, you had one interception and you were like, man, I was like, I gotta pick up my pants, boy. Like, I ain't never not led the team in interceptions. Then you had that 2-piece,
right?
And like you right on time now. Like, where'd that come from and what you see for the rest of these last 5 games? 5.
To be honest, bro, man, I just see and not just me, bro, but I see all of us like just doing whatever it takes to win, bro. And I mean, you know how it is on the defense side of the ball. Like, you know, the more you can take the ball away, bro, and you know, especially like in, you know, late November, December, you know, going into the playoffs, like you wanna be able to, you know, take the ball away and kind of help that, you know, help you build momentum, bro, and confidence. So I think defensively, bro, like, that's like the motto for, I mean, even you, like, if somebody would ask, hey, do you want to just sack the quarterback or do you want to sack and take the ball from him? You'd be like, hey, I want the hat trick. You know what I'm saying? Like, absolutely. I want the sack, the fumble, and I want recovery, you know?
So, need it.
Yeah, bro. So, man, I just see all of us, man, just playing way more, you know, aggressive, you know, hungrier, you know, just trying to do whatever it takes, bro.
Right, right. See, that's like when you had that 2-interception game. They were like, "Oh, it's vintage Tyrann Mathieu." I was like, "Vintage? This boy eating? What vintage? Sound like he old?"
Right.
Like,
right.
What's up with this vintage part? Like,
man, you know how I get, bro. When you get over 30, bro. You know,
man. Look, I hear you, but if I don't see no slowdown, I don't hear you. I'm over here looking like, man. If they're already quick to be like, "Oh, he older." All right, well, tell some of these young boys to start out working them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that makes everybody else elevate. If you know what you're doing, shoot. Make them young, put the young bucks pressure on one time. Right. Like, we gotta make them step up too.
For sure. No doubt, bro.
Tell me about the leadership in the DB room. Cause you know me. You know what I'm saying? Like, WD's loud. I'm overly loud and active in the team. And then you bring up your leadership, you know, to the DBs, which I've always said DBs in every team ever, just, I swear they don't like each other. Like, in my mind, like, D-line, you're always going to be, like, the closest knit, right? D-line, any team I've ever been on, the D-line hangs out together, right?
Yeah.
We hang out every Thursday, win, lose, or draw. You know, even if the defense don't hang out, the defensive line is going to hang out.
Well, you know how it is on the back end, bro.
Y'all always on an island.
Yeah, but too, bro, a lot of us were supposed to play, like, offense. We just weren't good enough. So I don't know if we got a little bit of that diva, you know, in us, you know what I mean? We think it's all about us, you know, that primetime syndrome. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, but nah, bro, I think we got a good DB room.
Right.
You know, we got some dudes that could really play. You know, I think for me, bro, you know, every day knowing like I got like a young DB room, it's just being consistent, like showing those dudes what a consistent pro look like, you know, in meetings, you know, obviously on the field, just trying to take care of my business the right way, knowing that even if those dudes not necessarily asking me for advice, a lot of them are watching me, right?
Right.
And so, I mean, that's how some people learn too. They don't necessarily communicate with you. They can watch what you do and watch how you act, and you know what I mean? Like, it can kind of shape their perspective or, you know, like, absolutely, their direction. So I just try to be like a sound person for them, bro, like a sound mind. I try to tell them the truth, you know what I mean, all the time.
Right. Keep shoot a buck at all times, for sure.
Yeah, bro. And
but you do it in such a like a calm demeanor, bro. Like, you so level in the room. Like, I'm like, bro, I don't know how this shit shake. Cause you know me, I be out there shaking a room up.
Right.
I'm coming D line. No, this is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. This is what we're going to do. This is where we're going. Like, and it's a response. You be like,
right,
hey man, that ain't right. And even the boys just be like,
right,
hey, if he's saying it, he mean that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, bro. And you know, like I said, I think a lot of that got to do with, like, you know, each and every day that they're going to get the same time. You know what I mean? Like, so they could count on that.
Consistency, which is crazy, bro, because, like, when you came in to the league, bro, you had vets. Like, you know, Pat P was your dog from LSU.
Right.
You know, over at the Cardinals. But, you know, I feel like you could relate so much more to these guys because, you know, like, yeah, I was a first rounder. You were, you know, you were – coming from LSU, you were that guy, and then you faced some adversity over at LSU. You know what I'm saying? You had obstacles to overcome. They try to hit you with that, like, the troubled youth syndrome or some right. So you fell a couple rounds into the draft, right?
Right.
But, bro, your story about you being consistent, just, like, elevating your play every year, like, I feel like some of these guys don't really know what you've done and what you've accomplished, bro. So, like, when you're cool, calm, and demeanor, I'm like, bro, these boys are taking it for what it is. Like, this is Tyrann now. I'm like, bro, if you tell them the real, like, how you started off this, like,
yeah,
when everybody was really counted you out, but you was just too cold to be counted out.
Right.
Like, I feel like that would hit home for some of these knuckleheads.
Listen, right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm like, bro, like, y'all don't know what you got in this room right here. And you, bro, you so humble, like, you don't even mention it. I'm like, like this, like he used to wear number seven at LSU. Like he was that guy. Like you can, there's only one of them. Like there's a playmaker in the rack number seven. You know, you come into the league, you punt returner doing like playing that little, you know, that roam around boy was out there getting really active. Like they know you from Kansas City years. I'm like, bro, like look at his body of work.
Oh yeah.
That's what I'm saying, bro. You got to tell him. Like, I'm like, fine, tell him. I'm like,
right.
Bro, you just be so even, consistent, bro. It's crazy.
Man, I mean, like I said, bro, I don't really, I don't try to be nothing special, you know. I definitely don't try to force anything, you know, on anybody. You know what I mean? So, man, some dudes come around earlier. Right, like we may sign a dude tomorrow, right? And he may gravitate towards me and ask me, like, you know, man, how you did it, right? Like how you stuck around so long, and then you know, other guys, it may take them a while, you know what I mean, to come around and you know ask like those real questions.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring. Your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I've always talked about it on this podcast or whatever. Like, it just brings me back to you, of course, like that business side of football. Even though you play for the home team now, like I remember we copped you off free agency. What does that free agency feel like? You know what I'm saying? Like, what does that feel like in terms of being at a team and like when you came to us from Kansas City, like, bro, they didn't even offer you. Like, did that add a chip on your shoulder? Like, how did it make you feel? How were you like, you know, how did that change your mindset? And if it did at all?
Man, to be honest, bro, I think for some dudes, free agency is, right, like, I mean, it's probably, like, one of the best moments of their life, you know, a lot of them going to, you know, sign, you know, pretty good, you know, contracts, you know what I mean? And I think for other players, it's different, you know, for me, for example, right, and, I mean, we was kind of talking about it earlier, right, in the show, I've always felt a responsibility to like the communities I played in. And so, you know, most players don't do it, right? Like most guys aren't invested outside of the defensive meeting. You know what I mean?
Now, like, boys be like, going home and like act like nothing else exists.
You know,
like so, all these schools out here, all these people that you could like touch, affect, be around, learn your community, do all this. Like, anyways.
But you know, man, for me, like it was tough because, like I didn't know I was going to the Saints. I didn't know the situation that was like waiting for me. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you have those type of moments like where. Man, you like, damn, you like, bro, I just sacrificed 3 years. It's like, I gave everything I could, you know, to whatever organization, right? And so, and then it's time for you to move on.
And won a Super Bowl.
But right. Like, and for some players, it's easy to move on. You know what I mean? Like, they don't really care. And I think for other players, which is a small percentage, like they wear that. You know what I mean? And so, but the blessing in my situation was, you know, even though it took me a while, you know, to kind of get over, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
Like, damn, I ain't about to be a Chief no more. And, you know, I got kids that, you know, like love the Chiefs and, you know, I got a family, like, you know what I mean? Like this, well, this is our home. Right. And, you know, now you got to pick up and move. So it's a lot of those type of, you know, conversations and, you know, issues you got to kind of iron out. But the blessing for me was, man, like, you know, like, I got a chance to come back home. You know, I got a chance to come back to the crib. So, you know, as bad as it kind of stung for me, like, damn, you know, I ain't going to be a part of that no more. But, you know, you never know what God got waiting on you. So,
to the crib, you know, we go.
So that was a blessing for me, bro. But some dudes, man, like, they don't have that, you know?
you know, look, we signed you. And then I was like, all right, cool. And then you didn't show up to training camp. And I was like, hey, what the hell just happened? They're like, and he was like, yeah, he's having some family issues. Like, you just had to get your mind right from that. Like, I never asked, and I've always wondered. Like,
right.
I was like, man, he coming home. He got to make sure everybody knows he here for business and not pleasure.
Right. And man, that was important for me, bro. You know, I've been in the league long enough. You know, I've done a lot of good things, right? And you know, I felt like I had kind of earned that grace, right, to be able to take that time, right? Because you see dudes that don't take the time, right?
And then straight into it.
After a while, you like, damn, what happened to him? Why is it like that with him? You know what I mean? And it could be, you know, him getting in trouble. It could be a bunch of different things. You know what I mean? And so for me, man, you try to avoid that because, you know, when you lock in on a football season, like that's important. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what's putting food on the table. Like that's what's allowing your kids to travel the world and right. So like you won't be all in, right? Like you don't want half of your mind to be on football and then the other half you worrying about all these different things that's kind of going on outside of it. So but yeah, bro, like that's what happened.
Really. I was like, I've been waiting. I was like, we talked, I was like, you're like, man, I'm good now. I was like, good now, what the hell that mean? Like, boy, like, all right. And then we got to the season. You've been locked in forever. And into the, you know, second year with the team, you know, three interceptions in. I'm like, bro, he going to finish with six. I don't care. I'm calling it, bro. So that being said, bro, everything that you know, you've done, city, community with your foundation, teaming up with son of a saint, leads you to, you know, now being told, you know, you're the Saints Walter Payton Man of the Year, you know, candidate in for New Orleans. Like, how does that make you feel? Does it feel different than anywhere else? Does it feel different because it's hometown and you like, you really got the key to the city? Like,
yeah, bro.
Seven Ward 5.
Man, because, you know, really, bro, like that's why I did it. You know what I mean? You know, that's why you do the right things. That's why, you know, you try to get your life on track. It wasn't for like people that didn't know me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like you don't try to put together a successful life or a successful career for people that don't know you, right? You want people that do know you to be proud of you. You know what I mean?
Nice.
And so, like I say that to say, bro, like my motivation has always been New Orleans, right? And like trying to make my people proud and, you know, trying to make my family proud. And, you know, like my grandmother not here no more, but like I know she'll be, you know, like
for show Friday.
Proud, you absolutely know what I'm saying? So for me, bro, man, it's just a full circle moment because it's like, damn, like all of, cause a lot of times, bro, like early on in my career, right? Like, when I was quote unquote, a different person, you know, even though I was always the same person, right? I was just a 18, 19 year old who, you know, got in trouble. You know
right. And they like, just hit you with that troubled youth ASAP. Like, oh, he's troubled. Come on. Right? One incident doesn't make you troubled.
Right. But, you know, early on in the league, bro, like you, especially me, I missed out on what I feel like is a lot of fun because I was so focused on the game. Right. Like I wanted to have a successful career. So, man, I ain't start going on vacations to like my fourth year in the league. You know what I'm saying? Like
an offseason, none.
None, bro. Like, and but that was like the level of sacrifice like that I had, right? And so, but you don't feel that when you're doing it, right? You like, damn, all my teammates going up there in the Bahamas, they this way, like they having a ball, and here you is just so focused on not messing it up. And so, you know, it was some moments early on in my career where I'm like, damn, bro, like it don't even feel like I'm in the league because you know, I'm so serious, right? Like I'm just trying to do the right thing. So it's good to look back on that, bro, and be like, damn, you made the right decision. Like you was doing the right things. Like,
right.
Like all that paid off. So
you go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What was that transition though? Like, was that you adding on like meditating? Was that you, like, you know, guys in the locker room, we have Dr. Chambliss or whatever, you know, a therapy coach. And like, and I only say that because I know there's a stigma around athletes or even black men in general, you know, not wanting to go to therapy. And I'm like, bro, like, go talk it out. I try to tell, you know, my young bucks now, I'm like, hey man, talk to somebody sooner rather than later. Like, I didn't even think about talking to a therapist or having therapy sessions or even somebody you can bounce ideas off until I was like 8 years in. And you try it out. You're like, this ain't bad. I won't see you every week, but I see you sometimes.
Right. Man, I love therapy. Actually, we was just talking about it, you know, last year for training camp. Like, yeah. I think I missed like 6 practices. Like 3 of those days, I was like in a, it was like a wellness therapy, you know, center. Right. So like, I'm always down for that. Like, I still got my therapist, you know, that I talk to.
What the hell is a wellness therapy center? Like a, like ordained, man, like it's like a resort. Like,
man, it's like,
it's like a car wash for the mind.
Yeah, bro. Basically. But it's like different things. Like, obviously, you know, any therapist session, right? Most people think of therapy and they think of like, oh man, I got to sit in front of somebody and tell them my whole life story.
And they're going to try to find the root to all my problems. Like, don't solve me.
You know, a lot of people don't like doing that. I don't really like doing it, but I know when I have to do it, it's kind of cool to release that. But the place I went to, man, it's like, man, you go for walks on the lake. You know, they got like horse therapy. Oh. You know what I mean? Like, it's just you on the horse and you know, rubbing the horse. Man, it's crazy, bro. But it's like, it's therapeutic.
Right. You and your zen.
You know? So yeah, bro. But my transition, bro, was serious, bro, because obviously you do the therapy, you know, part of it. But
right,
you know, I had started really getting into like yoga. You know what I'm saying? And like meditation, right? And, you know, a lot of people that I worked with in Arizona, I credit them too, man, because I had like a good kind of support system. Like I said, bro, I had Larry and Kles and Pat. So it's like,
right,
I had all their resources.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
man, shoot, you probably even had Darnell Dockett, big strong. Like, you need some muscle therapy, bro.
But Doc wasn't into that, though. Doctor was trying to take me out, buy me Jordans. You know what I'm saying? he wanted me to enjoy myself, you know?
Yeah. Ooh, Team Jumpman, shout out Jordan Brand. Yeah. Ooh, I love it, bro. Like I said, I like to talk about just, you know, that mental health and wellness too, because in this game, bro, we give so much to it. So you give and give and give and give and realize you depleted without knowing that you depleted. Like, why am I edgy? Why am I irritable? Why am I, you know, my body hurts, my mind hurts, and like, you know, my family still wants to cuddle and lay down. You're like, bro, don't touch me. Why? You know what I'm saying? Like, or, you know, all I do is deal with football, and then if I'm out in public, I'm dealing with fans. So you know, you don't even really know your real self. So sometimes it's cool to just decompress and figure out who you are. And sometimes you need other people to help you with that. You know, again, just to bounce ideas off. So I just love, you know, trying to break that stigma of like, we don't need to talk to people. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're, as human beings, we're social people.
And we're supposed to communicate.
Right.
Yeah.
My wifey is definitely going to use that against me on this episode. She'll be like, so we're supposed to communicate. Just not.
Right.
I'm like, I do. Just what you want? All my inner feelings? Come on, relax. Take it easy.
Right.
Disclaimer right now. But all right, let's get off that heavy and get into something light. You know, coming from New Orleans, I want to know what your favorite restaurant is out here.
My favorite restaurant, bro?
Yeah.
I don't even think it's a restaurant, bro.
What you mean?
I mean, like, because, you know, some places sell food, but it's like, should they be selling food?
Should they be selling food?
But the food decent, though, you know? Like, so it's like, you know. But nah, bro. So they got a store called the Red Rooster. And I don't think it's a restaurant.
Like the hot sauce?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the catch is, it's like round the corner from the Magnolia. So, you know, but they got the best hot sauce sandwich in the world, bro.
But coming anywhere to New Orleans and everybody pushing hot sausage,
didn't hit right for me for a long time. They're like, hey, elite, boo, damn, very elite, bro. Indeed,
I love them. I love high sizes. I think I love them too, bro, because I don't eat them as much now since I've been back home, right? Because like you can get them like whenever, right?
Right.
But it's like, bro, when I was living in Arizona, in Kansas City,
we had.
I couldn't wait to get a hot
sauce. You know I'm from Arizona, so that's what I'm saying. That hot sausage was not on no platter. You could get chorizo. You know what I'm saying? Right, you get your chorizo burrito up in that thing, fine. Eggs, you know, sometimes put fries, guac, you know, pico, and some chorizo. You ain't getting no hot sausage, what?
Like, nah, bro.
Out here, I'm like, you a hot sausage? Why are you always forcing this issue, fam? Nah, I would like turkey sausage, please.
Right.
Now I need to know what other slang comes from New Orleans. Buku is really from Baton Rouge, but like it could be from New Orleans. Like
it could be. I feel like I was saying Buku when I was in the first grade, which is just I think back on just moments like that, and I'm like
is that really
like you was using that word in the first grade? You know what I mean? Like, just so young, too young to be so ignorant. You know,
to me, Buku just mean more. You know what I'm saying? Lanyap. I ain't start using Lanyap until I got to New Orleans. You know what I'm saying?
Lanyap,
definitely a New Orleans French word.
That's New Orleans for sure.
Or you know, you have a birthday, be like, bro, I just turned 18 everywhere else in the world except New Orleans. Boys be out here, I just made 18.
I just made 31.
And I'm like, bro, why is that an accomplishment to make 31? Not like, okay, that's take your blessings. I just made groceries. What you mean you made? Right. Bro, that's probably the biggest transition when you come to New Orleans. Somebody like, yeah, I just made groceries. How you make the groceries, fam?
A lot of the words are like in the wrong spot. You know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be that. It should be another word.
Yeah,
you know
switching that joint up. So I'm like, G-Nike for sure. Got to be the different slang word. I've heard, you know, G-Fazos, Forces, you know, some ones, whatever you go. But G-Nike's New Orleans. Buku, we're going to say New Orleans. You know, we're just going to throw made. I made 18. I made groceries. Like that's just right. That don't add up. Still add up out here.
And they got more. It's like a million of those words, bro.
You get down to New Orleans and them boys start rattling off and you be like, I don't think I'm following this conversation anymore. We had make some food real quick, make some groceries, yada yada yada, legit done turn. I'd be like, bro, where do we go with this and how did we get here? Who made y'all to speak like this?
To be honest, bro, I think it all goes back to the gumbo saying. It's just like you just got a bunch of different people, bro, from like a bunch of different places and you know, like they're all trying to talk the same language, but they speak different languages, and these are the words we end up with.
Right.
You know, Buku. You know what I'm saying?
The French Creole, some Native American, Spanish somewhere, then all the right. Dip that into a big bowl of gumbo, which is New Orleans.
Right.
Well, anyway, bro, I'm going to get you out of here. I'll try and keep it at 30, but I'm always going over. That's my fault.
Nah, you good, bro.
Hey, I appreciate you tapping in, bro, with your boy on Off the Edge. Like I said, I love having a podcast just to talk to my boys because I always get like, you know, the producer sending the cheat sheet of your boy. You're like, no, I knew he was a 3-time Pro Bowler. No, I knew all this. He's Super Bowl champion. But I got to learn like things I didn't know about, you know, like I know what your middle name is. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just right. I get that random. I'm like, I don't even – Devon, right. The Tyron, Devon Matthew. Yeah, the coldest. I appreciate you tapping in, boy.
Man, I appreciate you, brother.
So there you have it. It's a wrap. I just want to say a huge thank you to all my awesome listeners for rocking with me. I've got a whole locker room full of my favorite interviews from season one coming your way. But before I go, you know the drill. Come on now. Make sure to drop us a 5-star rating or review and hit that follow button on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also catch us on YouTube on the official YouTube page of the NFL. Till next time, I'm out.
You go into your shower feeling tired, But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.